to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, St. Paul preaching reminds us that God has appointed Jesus Christ to judge the quick and the dead. And in his letter to the Corinthians, the second letter, the fifth chapter, St. Paul reminds us all, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And so that is our subject matter today as we consider, with the help of the Holy Spirit, our gospel lesson, the story of the sheep and the goats. And it begins, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. So here we see a picture of what will transpire on the last day. The first thing that will happen is that Christ will appear in glory, and the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds. The general resurrection of the dead will take place, and then the judgment will begin. And that is where our gospel lesson draws our attention today. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, sitting upon the throne of his glory, in the aftermath of his glorious coming, and before him are gathered all the nations. That is, everyone must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, that is a fearful prospect. And for some people, it's going to be incredibly fearful. For some people, they will not be able to stand on the day of judgment, but they will be swept away with their sins into condemnation. But such is not the case with the believing Christian. All right? And here's the thing that we have to keep in mind whenever we hear these kinds of passages in the scriptures that give stern warning. Jesus said, when you see all these things that come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The day of judgment will be a day of victory and vindication for the children of God in Christ. We, by the grace of God, will remain standing on that day when others are swept away in the condemnation that they well deserve. The day of judgment for the believing Christian is a day of redemption. St. Paul talks about this in, I believe it's in Ephesians, where he speaks of the redemption of the purchased possession. He says that the gift of the Holy Spirit given to Christians here and now is the earnest or the down payment of the inheritance to come. And so the day of glory, the day of the resurrection of the dead, the day of judgment, is a day of the redemption of the purchased possession. And that's you and me. We are the purchased possession. We have been purchased and won by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we are saved. We are forgiven. We are cleansed. We are God's holy people in Christ. And therefore, the day of judgment is not to be feared. Now, there are three words that I'd like to share with you today. The first word is separation. Separation. Notice in our text the picture of the throne of Christ on his throne as the judge and all nations gathered before him. And it says in our text, he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, the hand of favor and privilege. He will set his sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left, the hand of disfavor and no privilege. All right? So there is a separation that takes place before one word of judgment is uttered one way or the other. Right? And this is an important thing that you have to remember. We are saved by grace through faith, not by works. And therefore, to have Jesus Christ by faith and to cling to him in trust in accordance with the word is to have the redemption that he has purchased and won for us once and for all by his death and resurrection from the dead. In other words, our salvation is as sure as God sending his Son into the world to give eternal life to everyone who believes in him. And because he finished the work of redemption for us, we can be confident that we are among the saved. And in order to put an exclamation point on this, the Lord tells us this account, and he says that before any word of judgment is uttered, the sheep are separated from the goats. The righteous by faith are separated from those who are still in their sins. There is a great separation that takes place before one word of judgment. And then, when they are separated, the king says to the righteous, he says, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So they have been separated, the righteous from the unrighteous, and then the righteous are invited to inherit the kingdom that he describes as having been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This kingdom of glory has been prepared for the believers, for the righteous, for those redeemed in Christ Jesus, and it has been prepared from the foundation of the world. And therefore, it is a wonderful homecoming. All right? So that leads us to our second word. The first word was separation. The second word is vindication. Vindication. Notice, he says, I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in naked and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. And the righteous answer and say, when did we do all of this? And he says, in as much as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now, I'm going to explain that verse in a second. But I want you to pay attention here. Not one word about any sin is mentioned. And so I want to share with you three passages of Scripture. The first one is from Isaiah chapter 38. And it says this. This is King Hezekiah, after the Lord restored him to life. He was sick unto death, and the Lord healed him and showed him that his healing and his promise was true by a great sign. And Hezekiah was praying in thanksgiving for his healing and his salvation and restoration. And he says, thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Thou hast, listen to this, thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Now, that ought to be a very encouraging word, because what do you take and cast behind your back? Things that mean nothing to you. And so God treats the sins of Hezekiah as if they mean nothing to them. He casts them over his shoulder and forgets about them. And so it is with sin. When God forgives sin, he casts all of our sins behind his back. So if God has cast all of our sins behind his back, how can we be judged for them on the day of judgment? What would the forgiveness of sins mean if God was only going to bring them up again and judge us for them on the day of judgment? No, forgiveness means that our sins are sent away. They are cast over the shoulders of God. All right, I'm not done yet. In Psalm 103, we learn this. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west, so far he hath removed our transgressions from us. So how is he going to judge us? How is he going to all of a sudden find them and bring them up on the day of judgment? He will not. Why? Because Jesus has paid it all. The Lord has paid it all. I'm not done yet. The third passage is from the book of Micah. The book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 19. He's talking about the mercy of God here, and he says, he will turn again. He will have mercy. compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. See that? Thou wilt cast all of their sins into the depth of the sea. So therefore, on the day of judgment, there will no mention be made of the sins of the believers who are holy saints of God in the eyes of God through Christ, whose sins are forgiven and washed by the blood of the Lamb. No sins will be brought up on the day of judgment. Only the good works of the Christians will be revealed before all of creation in order to vindicate those whom the world has despised and mocked. They whom the world despised and mocked will be shown to be the children of God. It will be shown that their faith was true and genuine, and they will be vindicated in the judgment. Now, when did they help Jesus? When did they do these things to Jesus? He says, "Inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it to me." To do these things, to feed, to give drink, to minister to the brethren of Jesus, is to stand in solidarity by faith with the Christians and the preachers. That's who the brethren of Jesus are. The brethren, my brethren, when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, he's talking about the Christians and the preachers of the gospel. And when by faith we stand in solidarity with the true Christian church of God, such works testify to the presence of living, true, genuine faith. And so, our faith in Christ will be vindicated. Our solidarity with the brethren of Jesus on that day will be vindicated, and the day of judgment will for us be a day of victory and vindication. So that's the second word, separation and vindication. The third word here is homecoming. Homecoming. He says, "Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So there is a glorious home that has been prepared for us in heaven. And in the kingdom of glory, we will experience the day of judgment as a great and happy homecoming. We will not sense it as entering into some strange new reality, but we will experience it as something that everything good, everything cozy, everything happy, everything delightful that we ever experienced in the world was only a foretaste and a little peek for a moment of this wonderful sense of homecoming and belonging that will overwhelm us on that day, where we will realize that this is what we were created for, this is what we were meant for, this is what we were called to. By contrast, the wicked are told, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So far from a homecoming will it be for the accursed on that day, that they will be sent for eternity into a place that was never created for human beings in the first place. Eternal damnation was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was not prepared for men. But because they spurned the Lord, because they remained in impenitence and sin, because they cast aside from them every opportunity to be saved, they will spend eternity in a place that they were never meant to be in. Right? And so homecoming is this wonderful entrance into the glorious kingdom, which is ours, not because we deserve it, for we don't, not because we've earned it, for we haven't, but because Jesus Christ has once and for all redeemed us with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, even as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.